In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, on God, Amen. I like to wish you all a very blessed and happy St. Mary's Fast. May her prayers be with us all, Amen. The revival this year, revival of St. Mary, they chose here to be about the titles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I will speak today about the title of the Lord. He is the Son of God. The Son of God. What does this mean? First, I like to say that to understand theology, theology is a revelation from God. It is not a conclusion or a discovery of the human being, but it is the revelation of God to us. I'm sure you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And some say you are Elijah, others you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then Peter told him, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord responded and told him, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. It is not human revelation, but my heavenly Father." So the knowledge of Jesus as the Son of God, this is a divine revelation, heavenly revelation. No one can say Jesus is the Son of God except by the Holy Spirit. What does it mean, the Son of God? We know that God is Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Father is the origin. From Him, the Son is begotten, as we say in the Creed, begotten from the Father before all ages. And from Him, from the Father, the Holy Spirit proceeds. So when we say the hypostasis of the Son, means He is begotten from the Father. Not the Father is begotten from the Son. Also means He is begotten and not created. The Father did not create the Son, but the Son is begotten from the Father before all ages. And there is no any time interval between the Father and the Son. Also, as the Father is true God, the Son also is true God. As we say in the Creed, true God of true God. And in order to explain it more, we said light of light, true God of true God. As you let light from light, and they are equal in everything, so in the same way, the Son is equal to the Father in everything. St. Paul, in Hebrew chapter 1, he gave many explanation and many description for the Son of God. He said in verse 3, Hebrews 1:3, "Who being the brightness of His glory," the brightness of His glory, "and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power." So he mentioned in this verse three important things. Number one, He is the brightness of His glory. There is no glory without brightness. So this means if the glory of the Father is eternal and the Son is the brightness of His glory, then the Son also is eternal. The Son is the glory of the Father that's revealed to us. And then He said He is the express image of His essence, the express image of His person. Express image means the living image for the person of the Father. No one has seen the Father, but the Son actually, who is in the bosom of the Father, has revealed Him to us. That's why when Philip said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Let us see the Father, and this is sufficient," the Lord told him, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." That's what he meant. He is the express image of the person of the Father. Then the third point, he said, He is upholding all things by the word of His power. Upholding all things by the word of His power means He is Pantocrator. He is in control. He is controlling everything. Nothing happened without His permission. He is upholding all things with His power, which means He is powerful. He is almighty, and all power. The Son participated in creation. As we say, by whom? By the Son, He created all things, visible and invisible. So the Father created everything in heaven, in earth, under the earth. He created everything by the Son and by the Holy Spirit. Also, one of the titles of the Son, He is the Logos. He is the Word of God. He is the wisdom of God. And Saint Athanasius, when he was debating with the Arians, he told them, if the Son did not exist from eternity, this means the Father was without wisdom. And if it is impossible for the Father to be without wisdom, then the Son is eternal. The Father is the wise one, from whom the wisdom is begotten, and also the spirit of wisdom is proceeding. So the Father is the wise one, the prudent one, and the Son is the wisdom, the Logos, the Word, and the Holy Spirit is the spirit of the wisdom, spirit of the Word. Then in the fullness of time, the Son of God emptied Himself and became man. As we read in Philippians chapter 2, "But He made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men." made himself of no reputation literally means he emptied himself. أَخْلَ ذَاتُ. What does it mean he emptied himself? Means as God, he is all knowledge, all powerful, all wise. But when he decided to become man, he actually resembled us in everything in order to be perfect human, except for sin alone. And emptied himself means he did not allow the divinity to cancel or to overcome his growth as a human being. That's why we saw the child Jesus was growing little by little. As St. Luke said in Luke chapter 2, he was growing in stature and wisdom before God and men. And may we wonder how God actually was growing in knowledge and stature and wisdom. That is the meaning of emptied himself. Although the divinity is united with his humanity, but the divinity did not intervene to prevent the humanity from growing as a true child into maturity. If we understand this, we can understand many other expressions in the Bible. For example, when St. Paul spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrew chapter 1, and he said that the Father made him, or he appointed him, heir of all things. Maybe we say he is the Son of God. He is already in control of all things. What does it mean he appointed him heir of all things? We need to ask ourselves usually this question. Is he speaking about Jesus, the Son of God, the incarnated Son of God? Or speaking about the Son of God in his divinity? If he is speaking about the Son of God in his divinity, then he is the heir of all things. He is the Almighty. He is the Pantocrator. He is the all-knowledgeable. He is the all-wisdom. But if you are speaking about Jesus, the incarnated Son of God, here we need to keep in our mind the expression of emptied himself. So, this incarnated Son of God, the Father appointed him to be heir of all things. To be heir of all things. And also, he gave him a name that's exalted above every other name. Maybe we say, but the Son of God is God. His name is above every other name. But again, here I'm not speaking about the Son of God in his divinity. But I'm speaking about Jesus, the incarnated Son of God. His name is exalted above every other name, all other names. Because there is no name can save except the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is powerful. When we say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can cast out demons. Do you remember when Peter and John entered the temple? And they found a beggar And Peter told him, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I have, I will give you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. That is the power of the name of Jesus. So he gave him a name above every and all other names. And the Lord Jesus Christ was seated on the right hand of the Father in the place of honor and majesty, in the place of glory and power. And also, as the Son of God who became man, he entered into the Holy of the Holies in heaven. No human nature can enter into the Holy of the Holies in heaven. But since the Son of God took our humanity and united our humanity with his divinity, no one can stop him from entering into the holiest. And he entered with our humanity into the heaven of heavens, into the Holy of the Holies. Why he did all of this? How can I benefit from this title that Jesus is the Son of God? We need to understand that all these things actually he completed with our humanity for our sake. For our sake. What do I mean by for our sake? When he made the Father appointed the Son to be heir of all things, means when we abide in the Son we become heirs too. As St. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, if we are children, we are heirs, heirs with Christ, or heirs in Christ, in him. If Jesus was seated on the right hand of the Father, then we will be seated in him in the heavenly places. As St. Paul said in Ephesians, he raised us with him and he has seated us with him in the heavenly places. And if the Lord Jesus Christ was able to enter by our human nature into the heaven of heavens, the Holy of the Holies, then in him the way to the holies now is open for us. Only in Jesus we can enter into the Holy of Holies. That's why no other name, no other person can save us except him. Because no one can enter into the Holy of the Holies except him. He's the only one. And those who abide in him can enter in him. But those actually who don't believe in him and who don't accept him, they cannot enter into the Holy of the Holies. He resembled us in everything except sin, in order to fulfill all the righteousness that we failed to fulfill. As he said to John the Baptist, we ought to fulfill all righteousness. We failed to fulfill all the righteous requirement of the law. So Jesus came and fulfilled all the righteous requirement of the law. Then when we abide in him, his righteousness is considered our righteousness. We become righteous in him through his righteousness. And this is exactly what happened in the baptism. In the baptism, the man who was born with the sin and with the corrupted nature dies in the water of baptism. And then we are risen as new creatures, putting on the righteousness of Christ, because we die with him and we are risen with him. And after we come out from the water of baptism, we are righteous. Not our own righteousness, but this is the righteousness of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came in order to die, so he will abolish the power of death and abolish the power of Satan. As we read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood," if we are created and we have flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same. He took our flesh and our blood. Why? That through death he might destroy him, Satan, who had the power of death, that is the devil. So the Son of God actually came and took our flesh and our blood and died in order to pay the penalty of death instead of us. And also, by paying the penalty of death, he destroyed Satan, who has the power of death. Because the price of sin, the wages of sin, is paid. And by going through the death and the resurrection, he released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So here we can understand why the Son of God became man, in order to take our humanity and dies and risen again to destroy death and to destroy the devil. In the Old Testament, when they chose a high priest, he must be chosen from among men. And he is appointed to intercede for people. So he is taken from men to actually intercede for people. And because he is taken from people, he understands their struggle. He understands their temptation. So Jesus, when he came to be our high priest, he has to be taken from men in order to understand and to sympathize with our weakness. That's why St. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, "Therefore in all things He had to be made like his brethren. Why? Why the Son of God became Son of Man? That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So he took our humanity. The Son of God became Son of Man. And he took our humanity that he himself has suffered, being tempted, then he is able to aid those who are tempted. In the same meaning, St. Paul in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, he said, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, I told you he is the only one who can enter into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let's hold fast to our faith. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He became man, so he understands our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He is tempted as we are. Then how can we benefit from this? St. Paul said, if we understand this, that the Son of God became our high priest, and he can sympathize with us, and now he is in heaven, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace in the blood of Jesus. In him we can approach the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we are in need, we can actually stand before the throne of grace in Jesus Christ, because he is our high priest. The same meaning actually he repeated again, St. Paul in Hebrews chapter 6, when he called the Lord Jesus Christ the forerunner. Forerunner has entered for us into the heavens. So he entered for us by our humanity into heaven, so that we in him can enter into the heaven of heavens. And since Jesus is taken from men, then he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray. Understanding that the incarnation, the Son of God became Son of Man, is done for us. That's why in the Creed we say, who for us and for our salvation came down. So all of this is for us. He became high priest. He went through death. He took our humanity. He was tempted in everything. He fulfilled all the righteous requirement of the law, etc., etc. He did all of this for us. So, in the Son, we received all this blessing. In the Son, we received all this blessing. As Saint Athanasius said, the Son of God became Son of Man, so we become children of God. In Friday Theotokia, we say he took what is ours. He took our sin. He took our curse. He took our humanity. He was tempted like us. He resembled us in everything. He took what's ours. And he gave us what is his. He gave us his name. He gave us his righteousness. He gave us his holiness. He gave us his inheritance. He gave us everything that's his. He gave us his glory. So let's praise him and glorify him and exalt him forever. We understand now, if we understand that Jesus is the Son of God, we can understand our relationship with the Holy Trinity. Because many of us, although we believe in the Holy Trinity, but in relationship with God, actually we follow as if we believe in one hypostasis only. And we lose the richness of dealing with the triune God, with the Trinity. Any gift is given from the Father and the Son by the Holy Spirit. What does this mean? You cannot receive any gift from the Father except in the Son, except if you are abiding in the Son. You cannot be holy except in the Son. You cannot be righteous except in the Son. You cannot be forgiven except in the Son. So all the gifts from the Father is given to us in the Son. Those who do not believe in the Son cannot receive these gifts. And we receive, how we become in the Son, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit makes us believe in the Son. No one can say Jesus is the Son of God except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit give us the righteousness of the Son in baptism. When we are born of the water and Spirit, we put on the righteousness of Christ. And when we are chrismated, the Holy Spirit change our members to be the members of Christ. You are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit abides in you. And the Holy Spirit is the one who forgives us in order to be chaste bride, befitting for Christ. And in communion, the Holy Spirit descend upon the elements and upon us in order to unite us with the Son. So all the gifts are given to us from the Father and the Son by the Holy Spirit. And the opposite, any prayer or most of our prayers, we pray to the Father and the Son by the Holy Spirit. Of course, there are prayers for the Father. There are prayers for the Son, like St. Gregory liturgy. There are prayers for the Holy Spirit, like in the litany of the third hour of the Agbaya, when we say, O Heavenly King, the Spirit of Truth. And we can pray for the Holy Trinity, as when we say, Holy God, Holy Mighty, we say, O Holy Trinity, have mercy upon us. But most of our prayers, if you notice, most of our prayers are directed to the Father. And we cannot stand before the Father except in the Son. We have no boldness. We have no approach to the Father except through the Son. And as I explained, the Holy Spirit is the one who unites us with the Son. So when we pray to the Father, we pray to Him while we are standing in the Son, united with the Son. And the Holy Spirit is the one who is doing this union. The Son of God became man in order to make us children of God the Father. And the Holy Spirit testifies that we are children. The Holy Spirit cries in our heart, saying, or make us able to say, Abba, Father. Call God the Father as our Abba. As St. Paul explained in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. In Christ we will become heirs, if indeed we suffer with him with Christ, that we may also be glorified together. No one has seen the Father. And the word seen means here no one has known the Father. Because actually there are three incidents in the scripture explained to us that there are people saw the Father. Like in the story of Daniel, when he saw the ancient of the days sitting on the throne. And then a son, as in they brought to him one like the Son of Man. This was actually the Son. So the one who is sitting on the throne is God the Father. And this who is like the Son of Man is the hypostasis of the Son. In Daniel chapter 7, we read, I watched it till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow. So who was this Ancient of Days? That is the Father. And in verse 13 in the same chapter, I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man, that is the Son, coming with the clouds of heaven, he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. It is impossible that both are the Son. Otherwise, this is the heresy of Sabellius. Because Sabellius said, Father, Son, Holy Spirit are three names for the same being. So here in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13, there is one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days. So we have here the Son of Man coming to the Ancient of Days. Then here we have the Father and the Son, and they brought him near before him. The other incident in Acts, in the book of Acts, chapter 7, Saint Stephen said, look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man, Jesus, standing at the right hand of God. So here he saw the Son and the Father. He saw both, God the Son and God the Father. Also, in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, and I saw at the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with the 7 seals. So here God is sitting on the throne and has a scroll sealed with 7 seals. Who is he, God the Father or the Son? We read, no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So John started to cry. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to lose its 7 seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures and the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came, that is the Son, and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Then who was sitting on the throne? God the Father. So at least we have Daniel, Stephen, and John the theologian, so God the Father. So what does it mean when we read in the Gospel of John, no one has seen the Father? No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Here, seen doesn't mean the vision of the eye, but means the knowledge of God. No one has known God the Father. But who actually told us? Who declared God the Father to us? The Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Son of God became Son of Man in order to make us children of God, to make us heirs of the kingdom, and in order to bring to us the knowledge of the Father. Now we know the Father through the Son. Now we know the Father through the Son. As the Lord Jesus Christ also said, no one has known the Father except the Son. And no one has known the Son except the Father. We read it in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27. No one knows the Son except the Father. Definitely no one knows who the Son is except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, the same way. And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal the Father, wills to reveal him. So it is through the Son we know the Father. Through the Son, the knowledge of the Father is revealed to us. So he became man in order to make us children of God the Father, in order to reveal to us the knowledge of the Father, in order to make us heirs of the kingdom. In order to summarize, I can say we now are children of God the Father. How? Through our union, through our marriage to his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And this is through the work of the Holy Spirit in the sacraments of the church. We are children of God the Father through our unity with the Son, through the work of the Holy Spirit in the sacraments of the church. When the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Saint Mary Magdalene after resurrection, he told her, "Go and tell my brethren, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." How can we understand these four expressions? My Father and your Father, my God and your God. By nature, he is the Son of God. And by nature, God the Father is our God. That's by nature. And then when he said, my Father by nature and your Father, that's by adoption, because you are united with me. You are united in me. So he became your Father. And when he said, my God, it is by incarnation. He emptied himself and took the form of man. So, I am ascending to my Father by nature and your Father by adoption, and to my God by incarnation and your God by nature. Let me repeat it again. Jesus is speaking here, and he said, I am ascending to my Father, God the Father, by nature, and your Father by adoption, and my God by incarnation, because I emptied myself, and your God by nature. So this title, that Jesus is the Son of God, is a very important title for us, because it explains to us all the blessings that we receive from God the Father, how we are called in the Son, how we became sanctified in the Son, how we became justified in the Son, how we became glorified in the Son, how we became children of God the Father in the Son, how we defeated death and destroyed Satan in the Son, how we became heirs of the kingdom in the Son, how the knowledge of the Father is revealed to us in the Son. All these blessings, we cannot understand it unless we understand that Jesus is the Son of God who became man in order to make us children of God the Father. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.